with your host, Chris Welch. Good afternoon. Welcome to Living Room. I'm your host, Chris Welch, a jam-packed show on a close-to-the-heart subject, the Pacifica struggle. We'll be back with Amy Goodman, Carol Spooner, Leslie Kagan, and your phone calls right after news headlines with Max Pringle.
Headlocks continue to plague a UN conference today as negotiators struggle to reach a pact over the Middle East and whether Western nations owed Africa an apology for slavery. A South African brokered initiative failed to spark a breakthrough on the contentious issue of the Middle East, despite a draft document which supported Palestinian rights for a homeland and removed language that branded Israel as racist. Negotiators have been working since Monday in hopes of reaching a compromise over language and a draft resolution on Israeli-Palestinian violence and a second stumbling block over slavery. European Union states said they broadly welcomed Pretoria's proposed Middle East text, but Arab and Islamic countries held out for further changes ahead of the conference scheduled in tomorrow. Hundreds of people, mostly Palestinian, have died in violence that erupted last September when peace talks ended in deadlock and Palestinians protested against Israeli military occupation of the West Bank and Gaza. Meanwhile, Africa has also kept up calls for financial reparations for the slave trade, a demand made on the grounds that European economies benefited from the exploitation of African peoples and the continent's commodities while African development was stunted. Israeli helicopters fired missiles at a sport utility vehicle carrying Palestinian militants today, killing two but inflicting only minor wounds on a militia leader. In a revenge attack hours later, Palestinian gunmen shot and killed one Israeli soldier and seriously wounded a second, only a few miles from the scene of the helicopter attack. The militant Palestinian group targeted in the helicopter strike claimed responsibility for the shooting. Violence began today when Israeli helicopters shot three missiles at Raed Karmi, the militant leader who was in the front passenger seat of a four-wheel drive Nissan as it traveled near the Nur Shams refugee camp on the outskirts of Tul Karim in the West Bank. The first missile just missed the vehicle, prompting Karmi and his driver to leap out. The second one scored a direct hit, killing two 20-year-old militants in the back. Since the Mideast fighting erupted, Israel has assassinated more than 50 Palestinians in attacks on suspected militants accused of involvement in bombings and shootings. However, about 15 of those killed were not the intended targets. They included several women and children. The Bush administration announced today it will no longer seek the breakup of Microsoft and wants to end the historic antitrust case against the software maker as quickly as possible. The Justice Department, however, indicated it will seek penalties first suggested by a judge earlier in the case that could affect or delay the company's soon-to-be-released Windows XP operating system. The Bush Justice Department said it was dropping two key elements of the Clinton-era case against Microsoft for fear they would lengthen court proceedings and hurt consumers. The department said it is taking these steps in an effort to obtain prompt, effective, and certain relief for consumers. The Justice Department said it would no longer seek to break Microsoft into two companies, one for its Windows operating system and the other for its other businesses, as U.S. District Court Judge Thomas Penfield Jackson once ordered in the case. That order was eventually reversed by an appeals court, and a new judge was appointed to consider a new penalty. The department also said it would not pursue allegations the company had illegally combined a previously separate product, a strategy known as tying or bundling, in an effort to hurt competitors. Mexican President Vicente Fox pressed his case for swift immigration overhaul to Congress today, but President Bush called proposals to grant legal status to Mexicans now in the country illegally an incredibly complex issue. Bush suggested it was unlikely that Congress would be able to come up with a plan within a year, but said he fully understands Fox's desires to expedite the process. Yesterday, Fox, in a surprise move, urged that the two governments reach an agreement by the year's end, but Congress, which has the final say, is deeply divided on the issue. Bush said that a major obstacle was devising a system that would allow many of the up to 3 million Mexicans now in the United States illegally to gain legal status, without penalizing those who have already applied for such status through existing channels. That's it for news headlines this hour. I'm Max Pringle. We'll have more news later with Free Speech Radio News at 1:30 and the hour-long KPFA Evening News at 6. Now back to Living Room with Chris Welch.
Welcome back to Living Room. I'm Chris Welch. We're going to catch up with the struggle to control Pacifica Radio on Living Room today, the only remaining independent radio network in the United States. The struggle began in earnest in March of 1998 when Pacifica National fired KPFA's manager. 3 months later, KPFA staff was locked out and thousands of listeners protested in the streets. Since then, there have been lawsuits filed, legislative hearings conducted, censorship and firings, and at the end of last year, the Christmas coup at WBAI. The network station in New York City. To date, nearly 30 WBAI programmers have been fired and or banned from that station. On Living Room today, you'll hear the latest from dissident national board members, from activists on the ground in Washington, D.C., and from the legal front. And you will be able to call in your questions about the legal front. But we begin our program with arguably the ugliest front in what continues to be a very ugly war, with the network's only national program worth the name, Democracy Now! Democracy Now! Host Amy Goodman has been the target of repeated and disgusting slander, both on WBAI airwaves and off, and she recently was attacked physically inside the station. Amy is currently broadcasting Democracy Now! From exile, and Pacifica is refusing to distribute the program and refusing to pay her for her work. Amy Goodman joins us live on the telephone. Welcome to Living Room, Amy.
Well, thanks very much, Chris. And also, they have suspended without pay the whole staff of Democracy Now! And everyone, I have to say, Anthony Sloan, Chris Abrams, and Brad Simpson is working harder than ever despite this.
Well, and you're broadcasting from, you're not there, but you're bringing live reports from the UN Anti-Racism Conference in South Africa, the only place on the dial where anyone can get any information about that event.
That's right. It really is remarkable to be able to broadcast this historic event, and I didn't think that it was going to be a historic broadcast. Figured, you know, this huge event dealing with such an important issue, everyone would be covering it. We'd be one of many, but in fact, the only nationally broadcast daily program that's broadcasting our hour from Durban, South Africa. Today we had Reverend Jesse Jackson and Danny Glover on the line. One of the things that Danny Glover said was, you know, ABC's not here, the networks are not here, and it's Democracy Now! That is trying to cover this in force. And he said he found it appalling that Pacifica was blocking these broadcasts.
And we may be able to play that tape, but we have a tiny excerpt of both Danny Glover's comments and Jesse Jackson's comments that we may get around to playing before the morning is out here. I'd like to ask you about this. I mean, people were calling you racist, and they had been treating you, saying very sexist things about you on the air, WBAI, and off the air, and in your negotiations with your boss, Steve Yasko, the national program director. But when I heard that Pacifica management was saying that your award-winning coverage of the 1991 massacre in East Timor was fabricated, that you had made that up, it sort of gave me a clue as to the extent to which this nastiness against you personally is being taken.
Right. I have to say, I wish I'd made it up. I wish I'd made up that more than 250 Timorese were killed on November 12, 1991, but I witnessed it. And, of course, it was an absolutely horrendous event, and it's something even the Indonesian government does not deny at this point. It makes you wonder if those in management or those who've been hired by the new management at WBAI think they have a long tenure at BAI, considering they can now apply for jobs in the U.S. State Department. That they were very good at denying the kind of atrocities that were taking place in Timor over the last decade.
Well, your program, of course, and you yourself have a great deal of support out here in the Bay Area, and KPFA is proud to be the only, well, it's sad to be the only network station, Pacifica station, that's actually broadcasting your new program live, although some affiliates are picking it up live, so we're
happy
about that.
I mean, what is so incredibly encouraging is that, well, KPFA is running it every day live and making it possible for the vast majority of affiliates to run Democracy Now!, the real Democracy Now! Live every day from South Africa. And I have to say, I want to thank, I got an email from Gail Taylor, who is a San Francisco listener, and it was just, well, she says, I'm an office worker in San Francisco. I often listen to Democracy Now! At my desk with headphones. I looked pretty stupid at my desk this morning with my headphones, listening to Desmond Tutu and weeping. Thanks, Gail Taylor. So, Gail, thank you very much. And thank you to KPFA, the listeners, the staff of KPFA, for making it possible for us to break the sound barrier. And despite Pacifica blocking these broadcasts, and by the way, despite Pacifica management blocking the broadcast.
Yes, that's what I was going to say.
Mm-hmm. Right, has directed Bessie Wash and Steve Yasko to start running these programs again and to unsuspend us and restore our pay, but most importantly, to resume the broadcast of Democracy Now! There is no reason why we shouldn't be able to broadcast from this off-site location. Perhaps there are two reasons, and that is we're safe here and it's a technologically superior studio. I don't know if those are the reasons, but that is, we're broadcasting from DCTV, Downtown Community Television in Chinatown, and I'll tell you, it's a wonder to come into a workplace and be harassment-free. I had forgotten what it felt like.
In fact, speaking of listeners in today's program, people wanting to know how they can get tapes of Democracy Now!
Well, I'd suggest calling the archives, the Pacifica Archives. They record things all over the world, and hopefully, I mean, we certainly would make available these tapes of Democracy Now! In exile, and maybe you could get them from the archives.
Amy Goodman, our guest on the telephone here live on Living Room today. Let me ask you, that board vote, this was also historic because the five dissident members were joined by Valerie Chambers, who has in the past voted with the majority, has created the majority of the board. And she voted this way, too. And yet, Bessie Wash, their quote-unquote employee, is refusing to obey their directive.
That's right. I was pretty astounded myself. And last week, the six of the 11 board members signed a letter directing Bessie Wash in no uncertain terms to resume the broadcast of Democracy Now! And she has defied them until this point.
And so what, I don't know what to do about that, but tell me what's been going on. I know you've also got your union involved in negotiations here, and we were very concerned that AFTRA, this union, was not doing very well by you, but then it turned out that they have seemed to have a change of heart about it as well. How do you feel about their role thus far?
Yes, AFTRA has come out in full support of us, which has been, to say the least, very heartening. And on their website, people can go to it at AFTRA.org and AFTRA.com. You see a strong statement about the situation saying that they do not consider WBAI a safe or appropriate workplace for us right now. It's actually the top story in Backstage newspaper this week. And then after President John Connally spoke on August 26th, I guess a Sunday ago, in Los Angeles, and he said, quote, when it became clear last weekend that the Pacifica management was not able to guarantee the safety of our fellow workers, AFTRA made it clear to Pacifica that we agreed with Amy and her colleagues they should not have to return to the unsafe WBAI workplace. And he said, it's our feeling that the broadcast currently originating in downtown Manhattan should be permitted to continue from the remote location until it's clearly, finally, and firmly established that Pacifica can guarantee a safe workplace for Amy and her colleagues. It's very straightforward. There are three men who broadcast from their homes or offices. Gary Null does a cross-the-week show at BAI, which is also provided to other Pacifica stations and affiliates called Natural Living, noon to one every day. Armin DeMille, a psychologist, from one to two every day from his offices. And then Bob Henley, the Pacifica Network news correspondent, broadcasts from his home on a daily basis for PNN, and then on a weekly basis at least to WBAI in New York. All of these men have had no problem doing this, and yet when it comes to us finding a safe refuge, broadcasting a technically superior program, they are saying no. Ironically enough, they are running these old tapes, often at a higher speed than they should be, that kind of telltale chipmunk voice. But they are inserting a first segment that is coming from non-union, off-site location in Washington, despite the fact that they've been saying from the Pacifica newsroom. In fact, they are on, they are not at the Pacifica newsroom, and they're doing just what we ask to do, except that we're union. They're broadcasting from an off-site location.
Well, of course, they Steve Yasko is saying that you're being insubordinate, and that in fact they've hired this human resources person that is going to make sure everything's safe at BAI.
Well, I don't know what that means. We've been subjected to a fierce level of harassment and hostility, as have some other producers at WBAI, like my colleague Robert Knight, who months ago came to my defense before we were both fired off the local show Wake Up Call. When he came into the Wake Up Call program, he was the news anchor, and I was once again being insulted by my co-host, and he said to stop that. He told my co-host to stop saying the things he was saying about me, and the co-host had music brought up, and he moved in on Robert and said, stop defending the ass of that, stop protecting the ass of that white bitch. And he then physically assaulted Robert. This is the kind of situation that I've reported continually to management, both the new manager installed at WBAI, Utrice Lead, who says it's not her problem, she's not our supervisor, and then to my supervisor, Steve Yasko, and Bessie Wash in every single case, and then reported it to the board, giving them a kind of progress report almost every month, the kind of comments that were being leveled against me on and off the air, chick, bitch, etc., extremely demeaning comments. And yet, in no case did my supervisor, Steve Yasko, or Bessie Wash, who is his, in no case did they investigate or come to our defense to try to put an end to this humiliation.
Mm. Do you have, what is the situation, I know you haven't been in there for a while, but within WBAI, do you have any, do you feel that there's any support for you in there?
Well, right now we've left there because of how hostile the workplace is, and that is the predominant feeling at this point.
You're listening once again to Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, and you're going to continue. So what's the, can you tell us anything about the status of these negotiations? Do you feel confident that you're going to get to produce the program off-site?
Well, right now there are no negotiations going on. It's very strange. Pacifica said they were going to investigate the latest incidents of August 10th, so when I was physically assaulted by the interim station manager, Utrice Lead, on August 13th, when I hesitatingly came into the studio to do the program again the following Monday, was met by the operations director and one of the newly installed morning show hosts, and they were trying to get me to deny the attack that had taken place 2 days before. I went into my office. My colleague was there, Brad Simpson. We were trying to work. They were shouting at us, and when Brad closed the door and said, we simply have to get the show done, they used a master key, and they opened it, and they continued the verbal assault. It was after that show that we just said, you know, we have no protection. We have to leave, and that's what we did. The negotiations after Pacifica promised a safe workplace, whatever that meant for Pacifica after all of these months, the assault, the on-air attacks escalated on the air as people like Clayton Riley talked about the enemy and those who call themselves an exile, which is, of course, what we call ourselves, and said, in the words of Colin Powell, he said, calling himself also an old military man, we have to isolate the enemy and we have to destroy them, unequivocally. We have to destroy them.
Now, this is the same guy who promised your technical producer that he would hire some hitmen to break both of his legs.
Right. And again, in every case, the national program director was alerted, our supervisor. And the situation was never dealt with. And then he himself, Mr. Yasko, Steve Yasko, I have a gender harassment claim against after has brought a grievance against him for that, as well as the continued hostile environment at the AI.
Now, I don't know. We've got to move on to the next piece of this struggle, although I could spend all the program with you, Amy. But do you want to refer at all? You mentioned the gender harassment to this website that you told me about yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, I was deeply disturbed when it was called to my attention that Steve Yasko was running several websites. One of them, when you click on the name Hillary Clinton, it directs you to a teenage pornography site, referring to the web's youngest women, talking about college bitches, talking about youngest Asians, JapaneseGirls.com. You look at that, and you look at the language, like bitches, and you see why they haven't dealt with what's been going on, or he hasn't dealt with, perhaps because he is not offended by that kind of language. Well, I am, not only for myself, but for anyone who is called that. Mm-hmm. And it's extremely demeaning. And at the bottom of this website, there is a dish book, that's what it's called, and you click on it, and I guess anyone can post on it, but he controls the website. And it's a pornographic fantasy about me. And this is my supervisor. This isn't about sexuality. This is about sexism. This is about abuse of power. Mm. And I really think the Pacifica board and Pacifica management has to reevaluate the environment that has been created by the new management, from the top at the national level to the local station at WBAI. It's horrendous. It's inexcusable. And we have to restore Pacifica to its original good name.
Indeed. Amy Goodman, thank you so much for spending some of your time with us today, and thank you for continuing to do your program under incredible circumstances, and I'm glad at least you're in a safer situation to do it right now.
Well, thank you to KPFA, and I hope that Pacifica will stop blocking the broadcast. The UN World Conference Against Racism is just too important to miss.
Indeed. Thank you, Amy Goodman. Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! Joining us now on the telephone, we have from Washington, D.C., Winona Howder. Winona is a member of the local advisory board for our sister station, WPFW, in Washington, D.C. And, of course, Washington, D.C. is the belly of the beast as far as Pacifica National is concerned. And Winona was part of a group of people who went into WPFW to protest the fact that WPFW was not broadcasting Democracy Now! Good afternoon, Winona.
Good afternoon.
So why don't you tell us what the situation is there, given that Bessie et al. Is right there in Washington, D.C. Is there what is the nature of the climate? Are there people who support Bessie and then people who do not?
Well, basically, people who support Amy and who support Pacifica in its original form are locked out of the station. Lou Hankins, the station manager, has not allowed the local advisory board to meet at the station for almost a year now. He won't allow our meetings to be announced on the radio. And we've had a series of community assessment meetings because we want to go out and see what kind of station the community needs. We have a very diverse community, and the station has not allowed this very important function of the advisory board to move forward in several years. So basically, we're very used to being locked out of the station, and Lou Hankins won't return phone calls. The people at the station are afraid to communicate with anyone who does not completely support the existing Pacifica staff's positions. So we were protesting after Democracy Now! was no longer being aired and had unfairly been taken off of our local radio station. Several of us were out front, and the door opened, and people were going into work, and we decided to take that opportunity to go upstairs and talk with Lou about the both the management positions that he's taking, and also the fact that Democracy Now! Has been taken off the air. So we were able to go up in the elevator. Usually we can't get into the building, and go upstairs and go into Lou's office. And we tried to politely address him with our concerns, which range from his failure to allow the local advisory board to meet at the station to return our telephone calls, to cover local issues that affect the community, and most recently taking off Democracy Now. He refused to speak to us. He called people into the office. They shouted at us. They called us names. They said that they didn't want us as listeners. I said that I'd been a member for many years, and I was accused of not being a member of the station. And basically, there was just no respect for listeners or for our concerns. And they called the police to escort us out of the building.
Mm.
So
boy, you got to really have a tough hide to be a PFW listener, a Pacifica listener.
Yeah. You know, we have a very different situation in Washington, D.C. than you do in Berkeley. WPFW has not been doing local news or really been a voice for the local activist community for many years. There was a time back in the 80s that there was local broadcasting and news, and for many reasons, those shows were stopped, people were fired, and there was what people locally refer to as a purge.
Mm-hmm.
So for years, basically, WPFW has been a kind of a blues and jazz station with a little bit of local programming in the middle of the day with local talk shows and covering a few national shows, with Democracy Now! Really being the premier show on the station. But for most of the activist community in Washington, D.C., they don't even know that WPFW exists unless they listen to jazz. And unlike in Berkeley, where when something happens at the station, it's a major concern, that's not true in Washington, because people just aren't accustomed to having a really active Pacifica station in our community, which, of course, is a travesty. Here we are in the belly of the beast, the center of the empire. We have actions going on all the time that affect people around the world. We have one of the largest populations of African American men in prison. You know, we have lots of local issues that the station could be focusing on. We have a large Latino population. You know, we don't have the kind of news or active broadcasting that we should. That WPFW doesn't go out and cover protests. We've had major events here in the last few years. We will again at the end of this month with the protests around the World Bank meetings, and WPFW will be absent. So we are organizing local events. There is a protest planned that will be focused on Democracy Now! That's going to happen on the 12th of September. And then on October 1st, right after the demonstrations, the World Bank events here in Washington, the local advisory board is working with groups like the Alliance for Peace and Justice to put on a community needs assessment, and that's going to be at the All Souls Unitarian Church here in Washington. Indie Media will be there. Of course, KPFA will broadcast it, WBAI, WBIX. So there is a growing recognition that we should have a better Pacifica station here in our community, but we have a lot of work to do to get people involved in the issue.
Well, congratulations to you that it's happening and that you've got this meeting coming up in October. It sounds very exciting, and we'll have to hear more about it in the future. And right now we've got to go to another caller, but I thank you, Winona, so much for joining us. Winona Howder calling us from, or talking to us from Washington, D.C., where she's a member of the local advisory board. And speaking of Washington, D.C., we are joined on the telephone right now by Steve Yasko, the program director, the national program director for Pacifica Radio Network. Good afternoon to you, Steve.
Hi, Chris. Nice to talk with you again.
Well, now, you've just called us, I presume, because you wanted to say, get something off your chest. What is it? Why did you call us?
Well, I called because, you know, I heard you had Amy on, and, you know, usually, you know, I always encourage folks to have here at the Pacifica national programming, and I think it's a good thing for all of our local programs as well to sort of have balance in this, and so I thought that since you were discussing me on the air that I'd call in and answer any of your questions.
Okay, well, the gender, I don't know the specifics, and I don't have the case in front of me of her complaints about you're treating her with sexist language and not protecting her from